Today we're going to kind of skip the review and move straight to some things that God's been really placing upon my heart about asking big in 2020. Now, you know, last week we talked about Luke, which is also part of the Sermon on the Mount, where Jesus is saying, hey, keep on asking and you'll receive. Keep on seeking and you'll find, and keep on knocking, it'll be opened unto you. There's this thought, this process by which in our prayer life, we're to keep on asking. And so Scripture speaks of the things of God that we're to ask God to do. Even the things that God has promised to do. The things that God is intending to do. We are to be a people of prayer who ask boldly of our great God. He wants you to ask boldly. And so we're talking about this thought of asking big of God. Asking that He would come do great and mighty things in our lives, in our families, in the people that we're in contact with, the people that we come, that we live with and live, some of us who live for in so many ways. And so I want to look at this first verse, Jeremiah 33:3, which says, call to me and I will answer you and will tell you great and mighty things which you do not know. Okay. Now, that's indeed a refrigerator verse, right? It's the one we write out on a card and we put it on the refrigerator and we say, oh God, this is your promise, so that every time I'm passing the refrigerator, which is a bunch for me right now, okay, that I see this on. And I say, oh, that's a reminder. God, I want to call to you, and I want to ask of you, and you're promising to show me, you're promising to reveal to me, that's the word, reveal great and mighty things. Because we have a great and mighty God who desires to do great and mighty things in your life and my life. I mean, this is seen all through the Scripture. It's seen from Genesis to Revelation of all the great things that God wants to do in your life, in my life. And so, a lot of times, if you're like me, I catch on to a verse, and it may take months before I say, well, what does the rest say? Which you shouldn't really ever do. There's a thing we call context. Amen? Historical context that goes from then to the now, okay? So that we can apply it the way God is teaching it and the way that God is speaking it. Now, yeah, this is a message of Jeremiah to a people who are in captivity or about to go to captivity. And he's speaking and he's saying, listen, you're about to go to Babylon. And it's already happening. And you're going to go for 70 years. Now, I'm going to tell you this. You got prophets in this day that are standing up and saying, no, he's not going to be 70 years. It's just going to be a couple of weeks. It's just going to be a couple of months. Now, I don't know about you, but if I'm hearing one prophet say 70 years and one prophet saying it's just going to be a few weeks, I'm going to kind of tend to go with this prophet who's got better news than this doctor. Is that right? Well, that's how you get your ears tickled. That's how you get to a place where you want to not be conformed into the image of Jesus, you want God to be conformed into your image. And that's idolatry. If you believe that you're not perfect, let me ask you, is there anybody who believes that you're perfect and you've arrived? Not a one of us. Because there's a thing in us called the flesh, the old man, that's being dealt with right now. And that will be dealt with forever once we see Him. And Paul calls it, Paul says it in chapter 7 of Romans, that we have this struggle. What I love about Romans 6, 7, and 8, 6, 7, and 8, well, 7 tells you, look, I've got this struggle. I've got this flesh, this spirit, they set their desires against each other. You know what's great about 8? 8 tells you how to move through that and get to a place where God wants you to be right now, right here. Paul never gave you excuse to say in 7. And if you don't understand 6, 7, and 8, you need to go read 6, 7, and 8. Tells us who we are, tells us the struggle, and then it tells us the victory in chapter 8. And you got to read it all together because it's all in context, amen? But if I just read it out of context and look at 7, I might get a loophole there to say, well, I've just got this struggle and that's the way I'm going to be the rest of my life. Just stick a needle in me and I'll die like that. But I'll make it to heaven. No, Romans 6, 7, and 8, context. And it's the same here. Now, I want to tell you this. Jeremiah 33:3, it's a great word. It's a great word. And the reason why I want to say this is because in my heart, I want to see God do great and mighty things. Is that right? We all do. And from eternity, the Bible says we have eternity in his heart. So does God. But I got to make sure my great and mighty things line up with his great and mighty things. Is that right? Because I can think about a whole lot of great and mighty things that God don't have planned for me. Okay? So that's why I want to just share, like I shared last week, and hopefully we'll get to some time to spend some time about the Holy Spirit. I mean, I'm going to tell you, Rick's going to be talking about the Holy Spirit and the fire and the wind and the glory of the Holy Spirit on Wednesday nights for a class. And if you're interested about the personal work of the Holy Spirit, I'm suggesting you get to that class. Listen, call to me. I will answer you and I will tell you great and mighty things. Now listen, at this particular point when he's prophesying, Jerusalem and Judah are desolate. The towns are abandoned. They've all been taken away. The Bible still says there's not even a beast here. There's not a dog or a cat or a pet or a goat one. It's all desolate. It's all a waste place. And I'm going to tell you this because I believe this. When you take a look at it and you come to apply it to your life, we all are like this when we come to Jesus. We're desolate. We're desperate. And sometimes you find Jesus and then you walk along in your life and you begin to make these decisions that are not of God. And all of a sudden you start paying the consequences of those sins because I'm going to tell you, you're never ever free from the consequences of bad choices. Is that right? And you can be walking with God and knowing God and all of a sudden find yourself in a place that's dark, that's far away from God. You're suffering the consequences of the decisions and the choices and the sins that you've decided to walk in. It's desolate. It's a waste place. And it's for 70 years, folks. He is telling them, when you go into Babylon, go on and build houses and plant vineyards and plant orchards because you're going to be there. But I'm going to have a remnant come back. And that remnant's going to come back to this place. And you'll see it. You'll see it in Scripture. You'll see it in Ezra. And you'll see it in Nehemiah when Ezra comes back to build the temple. And Nehemiah comes to build the walls. And all of a sudden, people are starting to come back. And they're starting to immigrate back. And here's the promise. And I want to tell you this. Well, I know we're New Testament people, but we're also Bible people. Is that right? Because when I go from Genesis to Malachi, I want to tell you, if you're a Christian and believer, you begin to see Jesus on every page. And you see the promises of God that are seen in the New Testament. Maybe not exactly the same way, but you see them. And so I want to just show you some things about this passage of Scripture. Call to me, I'll answer you, and I'll tell you great mighty things which you do not know. Now, I want to tell you, when you see this verse of Scripture, I'm telling you that when you look at it in the context and you look at it in New Testament context and through the lens of Jesus' words, this ought to make you excited. Because it's big. It's bigger than land, it's bigger than houses, it's bigger than new cars, it's bigger than a bank account. I don't know about you. You can ask all you want about that stuff, all about those things. I tell you what, I can be happy and because I have been in a little bitty place and I can be happy in a big place. Just like Paul said, I'm so content. I can be in a prison cell in Rome or I can be living with the rich people of Philippi and I find this contentment in Christ. Listen, this is not about stuff. This is not about stuff. And what I think is so sad about you and me is how much emphasis we put on stuff to make me happy, to make me fulfilled, to think that this is where I'm headed. And you know me, I think having stuff's great. But it's not better than God. It's not better than God. And you can have all the security you think you have in your job, in your career, in your bank account, and it can be gone in a moment. But the great mighty things that God wants to do, they're yours forever. They're yours forever. And that's why I think about, hey, I want to ask big. I want to ask God of these big things that he's already pointed me to ask for. So he says in verse 4, he says, thus says the Lord God of Israel concerning the houses of the city and concerning the houses of the kings of Judah, which are broken down to make a defense against the siege ramps and against the sword. And while they're coming to fight with the Chaldeans and to fill them with the corpses of men whom I've slain in my anger and in my wrath, and I've hidden my face from this city because of all their wickedness. Do you know that you're going to give an account for everything that you've done and said in this life? Do you know there is a judgment coming? Now listen, if you're in Christ, there's no condemnation in Christ Jesus, but you're still going to give an account. It may be brief. It may be merciful, it may be gracious, because we serve this gracious God, but I'm going to tell you, you're going to give an account. And Israel is given an account. And for them, they're being taken to Babylon. They're being taken to captivity. And so Jeremiah has been beating this drum, and all these other prophets are saying he's wrong. And so you know what they're doing to Jeremiah? They're trying to kill him. They're throwing him in cisterns. They're throwing him in jail. They're locking him up. They're beating him. I mean, he doesn't have a successful ministry by any stretch of the imagination from man's point of view. Matter of fact, he's called the weeping prophet. And they're saying, we don't want to hear you. We don't want to hear you. We want to hear this guy. We want to hear these guys. We want to get under this teaching. You know, it's like, only speak good to us. Just speak good to us. That's all we want to hear. We don't want to hear anything else. But I want to tell you this, I want to hear everything else. I want to know my blind spots. I want to know. I want to know what the things are in my life and the propensities are. And I don't mind telling you when God reveals it. And I think that's a great place to be, because it's a place that God is able to pour out his grace on you. But these folks, they're stiff-necked. They're not going to listen to this word of this weeping prophet. He's just the weeper. We're just going to go over here where we can always hear about joy. And here's the thing about this passage. It is all about joy. It is all about gladness. It is all about happiness. It is all about life. It is all about peace. It is all about health. It's about all those things that all these other people are promising. Right now, right here. And yet I see this prophet and I look at it and I look at this first, this refrigerator verse, and I'm saying, listen, there is wickedness in this city, and because of the wickedness of the city and their leadership, God has moved them to Babylon. But I want you to know, look what he says, verse 6, behold, I will bring it to health. I will bring it to health, and I'll bring it to healing, and I'll heal them, and I'm going to reveal to them an abundance of peace and truth, and I'm going to restore the fortunes, or literally it's the captivity of Judah and the fortunes of Israel, and will rebuild them as they were first. I will cleanse them from all their iniquity by which they've sinned against me, and I will pardon all their iniquities by which they have sinned against me and by which they have transgressed against me. It will be to me, watch, it will be to me a name of joy, praise, and glory before all the nations of the earth, which will hear of all the good that I do for them, and they will fear and tremble because of all the good and all the peace I make for it. Amen and amen. There's good news. Call to me and I'll answer you and I'll show you. Tell you great and mighty things which you don't know right now. You don't know health and healing. You don't know the abundance of peace. You don't know joy. You don't know gladness. Listen, do you believe that when God created you, He created you and me, listen, to be a to have a name of joy and praise and glory? Notice what he goes on to say. He says, thus says the Lord, yet again there'll be heard in this place of which you say, it's a waste, without man, without beast. That is in the cities of Judah and in the streets of Jerusalem that are desolate without man and without inhabitant and without beast. Watch, this is what's going to happen. There's going to be the voice of joy, the voice of gladness, the voice of the bridegroom, the voice of the bride, the voice of those who say, give thanks to the Lord of hosts, for the Lord is good and his loving kindness is everlasting. For those who bring a thank offering to the house of the Lord, for I will restore the fortunes of the land as they were at first, says the Lord. Crowd noise. This is what this prophet's saying. And you know what's so sad about it? No one's hearing it. No one's listening to it. Do you know why? Because it's not on their timetable. Be careful about your timetable. Okay. This man had a mom who wanted to see the timetable happen like this. Is that right? All of us want that. Maybe God will do that for some of us. Maybe he'll do it most of the time. But there's something sovereign about the timetable of God. Now, he says this. He says, I'm going to bring healing to it. What did he say? He's going to bring healing to the city. He's going to bring healing to Israel. It's no longer going to be a sick place. It's going to be a place of health. It's no longer going to be a sick city. It's not going to be, let's watch this. It's no longer going to be a sick people of God. It's going to be a sick church. It's going to be a healthy church. It's going to be a healthy people. It's going to be a healthy place. Because I'm going to raise it to health. And I think sometimes in this fallen world, when we think about health, we want to think about the disease that we might have or the things that we can't do because of the limitations in our physical, mortal body. And what happens is we miss the greatness of our God in the midst of that health issue or that midst of that sickness. You know, I didn't have any intention of doing this, but I'm so glad I put this in my notes, okay? Because I just really feel like I need to just, I want to address this to you. You know, because we're talking about asking big, and sometimes we might walk like Andre's mom walked and thought for 10 years, it's not happening. Where's the victory in that? Or the person that we prayed for diligently for healing of cancer, and it didn't happen. And we can get so disappointed in that and say, why pray big? I'm saying, listen, no matter what's happening in your life, pray big. Pray big. This last week, a prominent radio preacher named Tony Evans lost his wife to cancer. Let me ask you a question. Have you ever heard of Tony Evans? Do you think people were praying for Lois? Do you think they were praying all over the world? Do you think her family was praying? Do you think she went in for anointing? Absolutely. But she's in heaven now, to the disappointment of the world. But she's in heaven now. And Jonathan Evans, at his mother's funeral, and if you know Tony Evans, you know that his their daughter is Priscilla Shira, right? You know all this. If you have any kind of knowledge. And Jonathan is saying this at the funeral. He said, I was wrestling with God because, and I'm quoting him, okay? This is not my quote. This is his quote. I'm wrestling with God because I said, if we have the victory in your name, didn't you hear us when we were praying? Didn't you see the cancer? Didn't you hear us? Why didn't you do what we were asking you to do? Because your word says if we abide in you and your word abides in us, that we can ask whatever we will and it will be given to us. Your word tells us that if we ask according to your will, that you hear us. Your word is telling us in Mark 11 that if we pray believing, you will receive. To be anxious for nothing, but through prayer and supplication, make your request known. Where are you? I'm wrestling with God the last few days because this was a great opportunity that we can tangibly see your glory. And everybody was praying, not in Dallas, but around the country and around the world. People were watching. Where are you? This is an opportunity to see your glory. And as I was wrestling with God, Jonathan says, God answered. He said, number one, you don't understand the nature of my victory, because just because I didn't answer your prayer your way doesn't mean that I haven't already answered your prayer anyway. I don't think he preached it like that, so. Because victory was already given to your mom. You don't understand, because the victory that I've given you. There was always only two answers to your prayers. Either she was going to be healed, watch this, or she was going to be healed. Yeah. Amen? Yeah. Can I just say that to you? If you're in Christ, there's always going to be two answers. You're going to be healed or you're going to be healed. And you may go through this life with loss, and you may go through life through things that just don't change physically. My word, it's just a carton. It's just a carton. It's all it is. And if we're fortunate, we might live in this carton until we're 90-something years old. And 90 years is nothing but a blip. Not even a blip in time. Is that right?
That's right.
That's why we have to look with eternal things. And I think that this is what this young man's doing. I think this is what this young man is sharing. This is what this young man is saying. And I think it behooves us to say, yeah, sometimes these things that we're praying for and wrestling for, they're not answered. But if we're in Christ, they're answered. They're just answered God's way and in God's time. And I don't know about you, but that brings me a whole lot of hope. A whole lot of hope. I know what it's like to pray for your dad to be healed of dementia. It doesn't happen. I know what it's like to be in an elder room over in here or in my office or somewhere in a hospital, and we're anointing and believing God, and it doesn't happen. I know the pain of that. I know the pain of loss. I know the disappointment of it not happening when you think it ought to happen. Even when you think you got a word that would happen, and all of a sudden that word doesn't come true, and you think, well, where was God? That's why I just want to tell you, that's something that I'm just on my mind. When there's difficulty, you know, this is what I'm praying right now. Lord, let us fall into your hands. Let us just fall into your hands. Amen. Amen. Oh, listen, we get to see people healed. We get to see people change. We get to see people walk out of there and 2 weeks later say it's gone. Amen. I'm just tired of wanting to try to put my great God in a big, huge box. That's my box. I want God to do what he wants to do, when he wants to do it, how he wants to do it. And I just want to fall into his hands and submit to him. That's all I want to do. And I'm telling you, it's hard. It's difficult. It is hard and it's difficult, especially when it's hard and difficult. But could this not be our prayer? Let us fall into the hands of our great and mighty God. For his hands are big and his hands are great. His hands, they do heal, but they heal the heart, not just the strength. They heal the mind. They heal the soul. These hands that bring comfort and joy in the midst of the hardship. And I want to say that, you know, he says this. He says, listen, this is Jonathan speaking, not so much. This is what he feels God's telling him. Either she was going to be healed or she was going to be healed. Either she was going to live or she was going to live. Either she was going to be with family or she was going to be with family. Wow. Then he said, you need to understand that I'm God and I'm sovereign, and my game plan is bigger than any one player on the field. You need to trust in the Lord with all your heart and not lean on you, but lean on me, because I have the ability to make this crooked situation straight. I'm sovereign God. That's why they say that I am that I am. As high as the heavens are the earth, my ways from your ways and my thoughts from your thoughts. We don't think the same. P.S. Don't tell me how to get my glory. That'll preach. Let me tell you how we can get you glorified, God. And finally, he just let me know, I appreciate your prayers and your trust in me, but the way you're coming to me now is a sense of entitlement, like I owe you something. You can't tell me what I'm supposed to do. I'm God. You can't say, well, it should have been this way. You can't tell me, well, as much as she served you, you should have done it this way. As much as my dad has done in ministry, as much as we've done in ministry, how faithful this family is, it should be this way. Don't come to me with that entitlement, because without my victory and what I've done, all of you would be on the doorsteps of hell. I don't owe you anything. You owe me everything. And I know that it's hard for you to sit and watch your mom die, but don't let that belittle the fact of how hard it was for me to watch my son die so she could live. So back up off me with your entitlement. There were always two answers to your question. Yes and yes. Because my grace being sufficient, thank you, Lord. Jonathan Evans. That wasn't Mike Fritcher. That wasn't my words. It's another brother's words. In his pain and his suffering of losing his mother and watching his mother die of cancer. Listen, you got to get out of the shell. You got to get out of it and look at not just the temporal, but the eternal, of what God's plan is in your life in the midst of loss or in the midst of things that are happening that you have no control over. Only God has control over it. Got to get your mind out of that, because I want to tell you, if your mind is just on this earth, you're going to find not just the earth, you're going to find the pit every time. You just are. This world is not our home. We're just passing through. And we must live eternally. And if you want to ask big, let's ask big for the eternal. Yeah, let's pray for health. Let's pray that God would give our loved one more years. Yes, pray that. Pray it big. Ask God boldly. Come to the elders and have them pray over you. Because the Bible does say that this prayer of faith does work. It does wonders. Let's ask God to do great and mighty things. Now, here's what I want to say, and this is not in my notes, it's not anywhere. I'm just going to say this. There's power in you as believers in Christ. You've heard me say it. This is nothing new. Just to show up. Just to show up and be available. And you know what happens? It may not turn out the way you wanted to turn out, or they wanted to turn out, but I want to tell you, it'll turn out the way God will want to use it for His glory and His honor. Listen, was this all supposed to happen? You don't know. Adam and Eve weren't supposed to fall from human perspective. And I know we can get into the debate of sovereign and what God decrees and what God doesn't. I'm not here to do that. I'm just here to tell you that you and I have Jesus in our hearts, and we have the Spirit of God in our hearts, and we have the power to rise up so that we're not living in the flesh, but we're living by the Spirit of God. Call to me and I will answer you and I will tell you great and mighty things. And here it is, 12:10 again, and I've not finished another message. But I want you to notice something about this thought, what he says. I'm looking at a waste place, and I'm going to bring healing to it. I'm looking at a waste place, but I'm going to bring health to it. The city's going to be healthy. The nation's going to be healthy. And the people in it are going to be healthy. Have you ever looked at your life, your marriage, the things around you, and say, it's nothing but a waste right now. It's a waste place. Where are you, God? And all of a sudden, God answers and he comes and he begins to fill you with living water. And living water comes and it nurtures you and it takes you to places that God wants to bring you to comfort and to restoration and to joy and to life, so that we are a name. We serve this name, and God says you have a name of joy and praise and gladness. I believe that's what God wants to do. When I look at this passage of Scripture and I think about answered prayers, non-answered prayers in the Christ, they're all answered somehow. But I just want you to see what he says. He says, I'm going to bring it to health and healing. You know, you can go to Revelations chapter 1, 2, and 3, or 2 and 3, and you can find 7 churches that weren't healthy. And what they needed to do to get healthy. You know, one of those churches was church that said, hey, you're neither hot nor cold, you're lukewarm, I'm about to spit you out of mouth. You're not healthy. You're not hot, you're not cold. You're just lukewarm. And he says, because you say you're rich and you have no need of anything, you don't know that you're just miserable, poor, and blind. And you know, I think that sometimes I can think of all the blessing that God gives to me, whether it's, well, it's all undeserved, right? But even if it's as a result of things that are principles in Scripture, I did this and this is what happened, and still be sick. I want to tell you, I believe with all my heart, God wants to make you and me healthy. A healthy relationship with Him, a healthy relationship with God, a healthy relationship with our spouses, a healthy relationship with our children, and watch, a healthy relationship with one another. That's what I believe. That we're not a sick church. We're a healthy church. And we're being conformed into the image of Jesus because we are laying down our lives for one another and we are living the one another passages out. That's our prayer. You know, I was telling someone the other day about all the blessings of life. And this person was just telling me about the job and the house and the stuff and the things. And I thought, oh, he's just talking about Lanyap. You know what Lanyap is, if you're new to me? It's a French term that means a little something extra. That's just Lanyap. That's not the main blessing. They're not, folks. That's just Lanyap. That's just the baker's dozen. That's just a couple more donuts. But you know, our mind is so focused on the temporal that we really, really miss what God wants to do in the eternal. He wants to bring us to health. Period. And folks, I'm going to tell you this. I'm going to, as long as I'm pastor, and as long as I'm considered an elder, I'm going to continue to anoint you, believing that God's going to raise you up. You hear me? You're sick. I'm going to anoint you, believing that God's going to raise you up. Okay? Please hear what I'm saying today. Please hear. But I want to tell you, you can be healthy till you're 99 and still go straight to hell because you're sick inwardly. And that's what I want to ask. Let's default to the Spirit. Let's be led by the Spirit this year. Let's ask God for great and mighty things. I want to finish this off just by just kind of skimming through this passage really quick, and then we'll close. But notice what he says. I'm going to restore the fortunes. That word fortunes means captivity. I'm going to restore what was stolen from you, and I'm going to bring you back to the place that you were before. This is a picture. It's a picture that you see in the garden when Adam and Eve fall and God says, I'm going to come make this right. I'm going to send the seed of the woman. He's going to come crush the head of the enemy. I'm going to make things right. And this is what God does. And that's why we want to be a healthy church. So we're a people that are being used by God to make things right. To make things right, to make things healthy. And so he says, I'm going to bring it back. I'm going to restore you. I'm going to restore the things that the enemy stole, the things that were taken away from you in this captivity. I'm going to cleanse you, verse 8, from all your iniquity by which they've sinned against me. I'm going to pardon all their iniquities. I'm going to wipe the slate, the sin slate clean. I'm going to give you a new start. I'm going to give you a new heart. And you will be to me a name of joy and praise and glory before all the nations of the earth. And in the streets, and when you're together, it's no longer desolate, but you hear the voice, and it's a voice of joy. It's a voice of gladness. It's a voice of the bridegroom. It's the voice of the bride. It's the voice that says, give thanks, for our God is good, and his loving kindness lasts forever. on December 31st, two great things happened. One of the great things was hard. Ruby Edwards passed away. That was hard, but that was a great thing for her. Amen. We all agree with that. And then later that night, we had a wedding here. And people danced here for the first time. Come on. Was I a little nervous? Hey, it's always the first time. But I don't know. I got to thinking, wasn't there dancing at weddings in the Old Testament? I got to tell you a story Ruby asked me of the last conversation I had with her. She says, I wish you could see my expression. Let me get up here. She said, Mike, if you know her, you know what I'm talking about. Are you letting people dance here? I said, yeah. Are you okay with it? Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, I'm okay with it. I said, well, it's going to be in the porta shay. It's not going to be in the building. That's supposed to be funny. Why am I saying this? I think of this verse, and I think of this wedding, and how joyful it was. And for me, if you're new to us, I married a man and a woman. One, the young man whose parents I married 30 years ago. Okay. And then Tiffany Trimble, whose dad's been on staff. I've known her since she was four. He's been on staff for 20 years. I've got an anniversary we've got to celebrate. And then I walk through this place and I hear joy. I hear gladness. I hear praise to God. I hear the voice of the bridegroom and I hear the voice of the bride. And I want to tell you this. We can't do a wedding here every week. But we sure can have the voice of our bridegroom. We can have the voice of the bride. We can have the joy and the gladness. And guess what? It doesn't have to just be here. It can go with you when you walk out of this place into your home. A place, a name of gladness, a name of joy, a name of peace. Wouldn't it be awesome that people looked at you and say, why are they always glad? Why are they always joyful? Why are they always happy? Why are they always positive? This is a part of the great and mighty things that God wants to do in your life. I want you to bow with me in prayer. I want you to stand up and pray with me. Now in your notes, if you got notes, the last three things on that notes was blank. It's the three things that you're asking big for God to do. And I want to just challenge you to do that today. Maybe take these great mighty things, say, I need you to come heal our sick marriage. I need you to come into our home so that we're glad and we're rejoicing. And we hear the voice of God and we hear the voice of the bridegroom and we hear the voice of the church. We hear the voice. I mean, folks, I'm sharing things with you that are big. They're great. And they're better than your team winning. And they're better than your son doing great in sports. It's better than the world. It's better than the world. And I'm asking, I just feel like God's inviting us to the bigness of who he is so that we would see health and healing, we'd see restoration, we would see laughter, and we'd see joy, and we'd see life. That's my prayer. So the Lord bless you with this life. The Lord keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you. And the Lord be gracious to you. Lift up his countenance towards you and give you this abundance of peace. This abundance of peace. And I thank God that he desires to do that in your life. May he enter every area of your life that's dark. Every area of your life that's difficult, that's hard, may he enter in with the light and the life of Jesus. And please, folks, get your eyes off the temporal. Put it on the eternal today. Put it on who God is and what God says he's going to do in your life. And listen, I tell you what, when you do that, you'll walk in forgiveness. You won't grumble. You won't complain, but you'll give praise and glory because that's your name. That's the name that we're to walk in. And that's my prayer for you in Jesus' name. Amen and amen.